Amen.
All right, so here we go. Please turn your Bibles over to James chapter 4. We're still in the book of James. Believe it or not, we are trying our best to get to the next book before Christmas gets here. But I don't think we'll be able to. We will be in James until, I think, in all the way to the new year. Hopefully you do have a Bible and that you bring it here every Sunday so that you can recognize where the books are and at least mark things down. James chapter 4, verse 1. We're going to be learning about 6 to 10, but in order for us to get the full context, I'm going to read from verse 1 again. Pride promotes strife. I'm reading from the New King James Version. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but He gives more grace. Therefore He says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. This is the word of the Lord. Let's say another word of prayer, then we'll get to our message. Father, we thank you once again for all your blessings. We ask now for your Holy Spirit that indwells in all your believers, Lord God. As they hear my voice, Father, let your Holy Spirit in them hear you. Remove our pride, Lord God. Remove anything that will hinder us from hearing your word, your message for us. Help us, Lord God, to understand. Give us the wisdom. And I pray, Lord God, that you bless my preparation, Lord God. Please anoint me and protect us as we worship you and learn more about you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen. Amen, amen. I entitled our message tonight, we're still in the book of James, which is the name of our series is Radical Change. The title of the message tonight is Finding God in Humility. Finding God in humility. There are 3 points tonight. What is humility? First point. Second point is how to practice humility. And third is rewards of humility. Now, what is humility? Now, in a world that is mainly prideful, the definition of humility can easily be incorrect, diluted, polluted, and corrupted. I really wanted to title the message of humility this way. Humility and how I attained it. Best message about humility you will ever hear by Joe V. Salcido. I really want us to really be embarrassed with that title. Because humility is the complete opposite of that right there. Humility and how I attained it. Humility and how I'm keeping it. Best message about humility. What is humility? You know, humility is so elusive in this world. And this world being ran by Satan, and is so clever, he's clever. And sadly, many of the followers of Jesus does not know or have lost the real meaning of humility and have fallen in the trap of the wrong meaning of it. Let's see what it's not. In order for us to know what humility is, let's first find out what it is not. True humility is not thinking less of yourself. It is thinking of yourself less. Now, that's famously attributed to C.S. Lewis, but as I've been searching on who really said it, they said that it's probably by Rick Warren from his book, Purpose-Driven Life. Now, between C.S. Lewis and Rick Warren, I don't think they'll argue on whoever gets the credit. Now, when we hear the word humility, many of us think of low self-esteem. In order for you to be humble, you have to be self-deprecation. It's not me. I'm nothing. Don't think it's me. Surely not I. Now, I, for one, used to envision the ideal meaning of it as making a concerted effort to disavow or to reject. I made it a point to reject it. Any compliments that is directed to me, especially when it comes to the ministry, I say, "Oh, it's not me. No. Don't praise me. Don't thank me." And that's the wrong way, because the Christian tradition has never seen that kind of humility. The way we see humility now was never how Christian tradition ever saw humility. It's actually how they made fun of what you think humility is. Now, St. Thomas said, humility is about recognizing the truth about oneself, which entails recognizing both our limitations and our gifts. Now, I used LeBron James as an example last week, and we're going to use him again. If someone told LeBron James that he is one of the greatest, if not the greatest, basketball player that ever played, and if LeBron gave credit to his coaches and those who have helped him along the way and ultimately to God, then LeBron could say in all humility the words, "Thank you," and simply acknowledge the truth about that statement. If LeBron was humble enough, if we are humble the right way as Christ wants us to be humble, and our hearts are correct, it's in tune with the Lord, when somebody gives you a compliment, "Thank you very much. That song you played today blessed my heart. It prepared my heart for the message of God. And your heart is in the right place with God," you can honestly say, "Thank you." Because you prayed about it. You prayed that God will equip you, enable you to serve, to keep you healthy to serve, to give you time to practice, to give you time to prepare. It was God. Do you recognize it? It's just right to say, "Thank you." Now, what's the wrong way? Right? We're talking about what is not humility. There was a time where Muhammad Ali, after his great fight, had to travel in a commercial plane. So he was there celebrating his big win, and they had a turbulence. Now, this turbulence was pretty aggressive, so, you know, whenever we fly, right, every turbulence for me is aggressive for me. And so a flight attendant, you know, they were telling everybody to put their belts on, you know, those belts, right? And then the flight attendant went to Muhammad Ali and he said, "Please put on your seatbelt." And Muhammad Ali says, "Superman don't need no seatbelt." And then the flight attendant said to, "Well, yeah, Superman doesn't need an airplane too. So please put on your belt." Now, C.S. Lewis captures the essence of humility in his letter, in his book, Screwtape Letters. Now, letter 14, which so Screwtape Letters is one of the books of a Christian faith defense that C.S. Lewis wrote. Okay, so just so you know what it is, there's the book is about an experienced devil instructing his young charge named Wormwood on effective strategies for tempting the human being assigned to him and making sure he continues on a steady path toward damnation. So if you have the time to read it, or if you've read it, you know when the author says enemy, it meant God. Okay? So here we go. You must therefore conceal from the patient, the human being, the true end of humility. Let him think of it not as self-forgetfulness, but as a certain kind of opinion, namely a low opinion of his own talents and character. Some talents, I gather, he really has. Fix in his mind the idea that humility consists in trying to believe those talents to be less valuable than he believes them to be. No doubt they are, in fact, less valuable than he believes, but that is not the point. The great thing is to make him value an opinion for some quality other than the truth, thus introducing an element of dishonesty and make-believe into the heart of what otherwise threatens to become a virtue. The story goes where the human being started to learn about humility, and the devil panicked. Because, you know, St. Augustine said that the foundation of all virtues is humility. The moment that Christians, believers, become humble, that's when God will start building those virtues that we need in this Christian life stronger. Because let's say you're prideful. We talked about pride last week. You know, I didn't have a hard time discussing pride without mentioning humility. Not at all. But as I was preparing for humility, the humility message, it's quite difficult to speak about humility without mentioning pride. It's really difficult. It's strange. Now, value an opinion. If you see it there, value an opinion for the sake of the wrong notion of humility. That's false humility. If somebody says, wow, he's such a great guitar player. Oh, it's not me, it's God. That's false humility. It is you that God has given the gift to play the guitar. Amen? It's you. You're the one who's carrying the talent. Yes, it is given by God. So you say, thank you. Praise God. Remember, we discussed glory three Sundays ago. Now, for Lewis, C.S. Lewis, humility is not a matter of thinking less of ourselves, but less about ourselves. We are to give the talents that we have received. It's not for us to keep. I keep telling Alonzo and Gianna, you know, they have a big difference. Alonzo's 6'3", Gianna's 5'4". You know, I always say like, hey, and then I tell Alonzo, hey, Alonzo, go reach for that. And he goes, why do you always ask me to do it? Because you're taller, right? When they were both younger, I would always ask Alonzo to throw the trash. And he was like 8 or 9. Why do I always do it? Because you're stronger, right? God gives us the talent by design. Do you think it was an accident that God gave us a certain number of instrumentalists in our church? And not everybody plays the guitar or drums. It's because everybody has their own task. But as you recognize humility, the false notion of humility is always deterring. Like, no, not me. You're panicking. Don't panic. False humility is saying, oh, it's throwing it out right away, not accepting compliments. And another excerpt from the book. By this method, thousands of humans have been brought to think that humility means, listen to this, pretty women trying to believe that they are ugly, and clever men trying to believe that they are fools. And since they are trying to believe may, in some cases, be manifest nonsense, they cannot succeed in believing it. And we have the chance of keeping their minds endlessly revolving on themselves in an effort to achieve the impossible. To anticipate the enemy's strategy, enemy is God, right? But because he made this a book, we must consider his aims. God wants to bring the man to a state of mind in which he could design the best cathedral in the world and know it to be the best and rejoice in the fact without being any more or less or otherwise glad at having done it than he would be if it were had been done by another. God wants him in the end to be so free from any bias in his own favor that he can rejoice in his own talents as frankly and gratefully as his neighbor's talents, or in a sunrise, an elephant, or a waterfall. He wants each man in the long run to be able to recognize all creatures, even himself, as glorious and excellent things. Humility is knowing what you're capable of and being grateful about it. Humility is recognizing I have certain talents that I can share to the church, to my brothers and my sisters, and being thankful about it and not keeping it to yourself. That is humility. Humility is not saying, oh, I'm not good, but you have great pipes. Understanding what God means on what humility truly is brings all the glory back to Him and brings us back to our proper place. That's real, that's the true humility. We, however, do not accomplish that by denying the gift that He has given us, and because of that gift, we get to bless others. Other people serve in His ministry. Now, what are the example of skills and the gifts from God? The instrumentalist, your musical talents, your organizational skills, your carpentry skills, your electrical skills, your muscle power, you being healthy. And this other thing, if you are influential, if you know certain people in the city, in the community, in the political realm, those are all God's gift to you that can be used for His glory. Your money skill, right? Those are all God's gift to you. That false humility says, oh, no, no, not me. Verse 6, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Again, we discussed pride last week and how God is at the other side of pride. And James, the Apostle James, addressing the discord. If you read again, if you heard me earlier, verses 1 to 5 was talking about the discord that's been happening in the church. And then he follows it, the Apostle Paul follows it by saying, grace, undeserved favor is given by God to the humble person, not the prideful person, but the humble person. Just like salvation is through grace. Amen? Did you earn your salvation? No, it was grace. It was given to us. And grace is given once the person admits in humility that I am a sinner. I cannot pay for my sins. There's no way that I can. Humility is saying that. Humility is saying I'm not perfect. I can't do it on my own. It is easier to remain, you know, the honest, painful truth too is it's easier to remain humble if you're by yourself. You agree? If you're by yourself, it's easy to be humble because you have nothing to brag, no one to brag to, and nobody to compare with. And nobody's telling you irritating things that if they're bragging about their car, you're like, oh my gosh, are you really bragging about your 94 Nissan? Sorry, does anybody have a 94 Nissan? Right? It's easier to be humble if you're by yourself. Because there's no competing, there's no comparing, nobody's irritating you. But see, the church setting, which is James' letter in chapter 4, every believer is compelled to become a part of a church community. Amen? Let's try to convert you. There you go. Hebrews 10, 24 to 25. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more you see the day approaching. It's It's just the truth. Again, in Genesis 2:18, the Lord said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Community, church, for all of us Christians, is what we're called to have. And this is where we grow. How do you grow your humility by yourself? You can't. It grows when you're faced with other people, when you are being corrected. Right? Oh, that's the hard part. You know, for me, I would say, in all honesty, that I am being kept humble by my wife, Anna, and my children, Alonzo and Gianna. So if you are single, it's probably hard for you to be humble. But if you are married, your spouse will always keep you humble. Your children will keep you humble, right? But as a church, we all keep each other humble. How? Because we're accountable with one another. This is where our imperfection is being revealed. When you are in a relationship with someone, that's where your imperfection is revealed. That's when your imperfection is being challenged. Again, another scripture about humility, about fellowship is Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, breaking of bread and prayer. 1 Corinthians 12:12. Just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Humility. What is humility? Humility is not thinking less of ourselves, but thinking less of us, right? Is it less of ourselves? What did I forgot. God wanted us to become a part of a community. Now, the second point, how to practice humility. How to practice humility. How do we do it? Philippians 2:3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. You want to practice humility? Do this right here. Value the others more than you. So if you made an appointment, or if they made an appointment, respecting their time by coming in on time is being humble. Do we agree? I think so. Right? Because the other party went above their schedule to be on time, on the agreed meeting time. I think as Christians, we need to be considerate. And being considerate is humility. Amen? But look at that. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Now, for those who are married or in a relationship, in every relationship, this applies. If you are in a relationship, family, spouse, girlfriend, school, work, business, this is how humility is practiced. And then the Christian says, well, not me. Yes, you. Look, Colossians 3:12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, that's us, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. How to practice humility? You don't do it for yourself. You don't become humble for the sake of being humble. I want to be considered humble, so I'm going to be humble. Still wrong. Humility is being practiced so that others will be taken care of by you. Do you see it? Our family, our church family, and everywhere else that God placed us, at work or business, practicing humility is what we're called as Christians, called to do. Now, it reminds me of Bill Gates. You know, when Bill Gates met Bong at the Manila International Airport. Did you know that? Did you guys hear that? The Bill Gates' plane was like, you know, got damaged, so he had to make an emergency stop at the Naia Airport. So he was there, he was bored, he was mad. I'm a billionaire, what am I doing in this airport? The line is so long, they're so loud, I can't understand what they're saying. And then he sees Bong. Then he goes, I'm going to pick on this guy. He goes to Bong and he goes, excuse me, I'd like to make a bet. Would you like to make some money? Bong, like, you know, Filipino guy waiting to go to Saudi Arabia. He goes, all right, Bill, but I don't have as much money as you, of course. He goes, no. The bet will be, if I don't know the answer, I'll give you $500. But if you don't know, you pay me $5. So Bong goes, okay, that's a good deal. Let's do it. So Bill Gates, the genius that he is, he goes, how far is the moon from the earth? Man, Bong goes, wow, you have to start with that. He starts, pulls out $5, gives it to Bill Gates. Okay, Bill Gates takes it, smiles. Your turn, Bong. Bong goes, what do you call the animal that goes up the mountain with 3 legs and then comes back down with 4 legs? And Bill Gates goes, what? He starts thinking, he starts processing it in his Microsoft head, right? He goes, you know what? That beats me. Takes $500, gives it to Bong. And then Bong goes, thank you, your turn. And then Bill Gates goes, before I go to my next question, what's that animal? Bong goes, here's $5. Lesson of the story, again, is don't bet against a Filipino, especially when there's $500 on the line. He will always win. Humility is not acting as if people are always waiting for your opinion. Humility is holding back, even though you know that they are doing something wrong. You have to be in humility, controlled, because there's gentleness there. 1 Peter 5:5, in the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. James, the Proverbs, and Peter says the same thing. Remember Peter, one of the most not violent, but aggressive disciple of Jesus. Remember his story where he says, Lord, over my dead body, I will not let any harm come upon you. Remember? He was very adamant about it. But he was humbled. Which is why I think he wrote this for all of us to remind ourselves that, listen, even if you truly feel that way, be humble. Even if you really think that you are right, be humble. Because the way we deliver our message, if we're prideful, has a different tone versus how we deliver it in a gentle manner. And tone and delivery is critical. Do we agree? Because the heart is critical. This is why I tell my wife, myself, and my children, if you're already in a heated argument, try to avoid sending text messages. Because text messages has its own tone. And the tone is usually on the reader. If the reader is already irritated, your text, how are you, is being taken differently. So be careful, be wise, understand. But look at that, we have to put it on. See there? He says, clothe yourselves. It doesn't accidentally fall on you or magically appears or shows up like, oh my gosh, I'm humble. All of a sudden, I'm humble. No, you have to put it on. It's similar to putting on the full armor of God in Ephesians 6. The word putting it on is just wearing it. How do you wear humility? You pray. You recognize that you are proud first and foremost. That you are more than likely going to be in error if you approach it in an aggressive way. Humility says, okay, I could be wrong about this. I think it's okay for me to listen to what they have to say. Humility says, I could be too aggressive on this one, and it might be received in the wrong manner. So let me step back a little, and let me pray about it. There's that putting on. There's that mental action. Ephesians 4, 22-24. Throw off your old sinful nature. See, there's removing it. Throw off. And your former way of life. Removing your old sinful nature and removing your way of life before, the way you approach things before, the way you speak to people before, the way you've handled situations before. You are to remove that. Why? Which is corrupted by lust and deception. Our old selves was full of deception and full of lust and full of pride. And look, verse 23. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. See how you will handle disagreements with your spouse and how you would handle disagreements with your children or your parents. It will have to change. It will have to change because we're commanded to throw that old self off. And when you throw it away, when you remove it, you are to put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Amen? In this church, we are to know Christ, right? To know everything about Jesus, what He did for us, what He continues to do for us, what He can continue to do for other people, and what He will be doing when He comes back. We are to constantly know Christ. And the second point is what? To become like Him. To become like Him. To becoming like Christ is becoming humble too. We are to be humble. But there, you cannot be humble and be prideful at the same time. You have to remove that old self. You know, I had a favorite cotton shirt. Cotton t-shirt. You know, it's my favorite. Especially during summer nights. It just hugs me the right way. You know, it's good. You know, it just feels right. But the problem with this old t-shirt, Anna hated it because it had multiple holes. But I call it my AC spots. You know, it has an AC here. There's an AC there. There's an AC here. So that's why it's so good and perfect for summer nights. Anna Lou hates seeing it. She goes, babe, why do you like that shirt so much? I go, it just feels right. We belong to each other. Don't bother it. She turns around and buys a new set of Hanes cotton shirt. And she goes, here you go. Please get rid of that old, ugly shirt. But I refuse to do it. I can't part from it. I can't divorce myself from it. God hates divorce, right? I couldn't do it. But one time she saw me wearing it again, and she goes, wear the new shirts. And then now I cannot find the shirt. I feel like somebody got rid of it. Now, similar to our walk with the Lord, we can continue to resist. We can continue to insist that our old way of life, our old way of thinking, is the right way is the right thinking. I am humble, but they have to hear it. I am humble, and I am right, and they are wrong, and they are prideful. This is how it's supposed to be done. We can continue to insist and resist the change that God wants us to have. Our prideful self will never admit that it is time for him or her to go. Because the prideful self says, I'm right. I will never say sorry. I will never change my way. My wife told me, she goes, this was the other day. She says, you know, babe, I'm having a hard time admitting it. Because I was like, well, okay, that's good. Because I'm trying to pick materials, right? materials. She goes, babe, you know, yeah, you're okay to get along with. You're just hard to argue with. You know? She goes, it's good. I'm okay to argue with. Not that one. She says, it's easy to be with you, but it's hard to argue with you. Yeah. So I said, what do you mean? The third point. Rewards. There's rewards. There's rewards in humility. Here, Proverbs 22:4. Humility is the fear of the Lord. Its wages are riches and honor and life. You see that? Now, if you're going to be humble so that you can get riches, you're missing the point. But in humility, there's riches, honor, and life. A humble child with a wise parent will benefit tremendously if they will only heed to every single thing that their parents are telling them. A submissive wife will tremendously benefit from a God-fearing husband if she will only submit to every single thing that the God-fearing husband has laid out on how they will budget their expenses. On which stores are we not supposed to go to? On which websites are supposed to be deleted on your phone? A husband will benefit tremendously to God who loves him tremendously if he will only submit to God's authority in everything that he says, thinks, and does. Remember David? You know, David is second to Jesus with the many number of verses that was attributed, or chapters that was attributed to a person. Jesus has many verses, chapters attributed to him. The second person is David. And what did God say about David? And look at 1 Samuel 13-14. But now, this is Samuel speaking to King Saul. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought a man after his own heart. Imagine that. That, you know, after my own heart means another person with similar values. Similar values. King Saul was rejected because what? He did not obey God's command. And that's not just because he was disobedient, because he was what? Prideful. He was prideful. And remember, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God chose David because he was choosing. Imagine that. This was before Samuel met David. That account that you read there, that you're reading there, is before Samuel met David in person. So God has already determined that I am searching for a man after my own heart, and it was David, the young David. Look, verse 16, to prove that point. 16:6-7. When they arrived, Samuel took one look at Eliab and thought, surely this is the Lord's anointed. Imagine. You know, the commentaries are saying that Eliab must have been about 6'3", 6'4". You know, because Saul was a head taller than everyone else. And then what did God say? But the Lord said to Samuel, don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Humility, true humility. We have to understand this. True humility is us being right with God. Because God knows the heart. If you're acting as if you're humble but your heart isn't, who are you kidding? Maybe you can fool us here. But you know, true humility, God knows. Imagine Eliab. Eliab was rejected. That's what God says. For I have rejected him. That just means Eliab had a prideful heart. And because I don't have time, if you go back to the story of David and Goliath, it was Eliab who rebuked David. And Eliab's line was, get out of here. What are you doing here? You are such a show-off. Get out. Because David, the humble David, was offended for God. Because the Philistine, Goliath, was insulting the Lord's people. You see the contrast there? What seems, sometimes your humility will look like pride to prideful people. That's another day to talk about, but the title of our message is Finding God in Humility. The ultimate reward of humility is that you found God. You became a Christian because you were humble. You were humble. But it was God who gave you that humility to realize that you are a sinner, to realize that you need a Savior, to realize that all your good works times 1,000 is never enough to bring you right with God. Finding God in humility is the ultimate reward for us. Matthew 11:28-30, Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble. Humble. Christ is humble. And then, because he's humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Are you tired? Are you at a point in your spiritual walk to where you're saying, I'm spent. I am exhausted. I am tired. I don't know what to do anymore. Maybe there is a problem there with pride. There is a certain person that I'm counseling, and they are not listening to me. They are insisting on their way, on what they want to do, and I'm truly convinced that if they proceed in that manner, they will get hurt. You know what? What did God say? You bring it to Jesus. Come to me. All of you are weary and tired. Pride says, no, I want to take control of it. Humility says, okay, Lord, you can have it. Okay, Lord, that's yours. My children are yours, Lord. My spouse is yours. The ministry is yours, Lord God. This person that I'm praying for his or her salvation, I've spent so much time, so many hours with them, but they're not listening. Okay, Lord. Humility says, okay, Lord. Letting go of it. Letting go. Philippians 2:5-11. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on the earth and under the earth. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to glory of God the Father. Christ did not have to die on the cross if he didn't want to. He doesn't owe it to us that he made that sacrifice. But he did it because he loves us. But he humbled himself enough to die the most excruciating way. Only the worst criminals die in the crucifixion. But Christ humbled himself to that point. Then why would we, believers of that humble Christ, become proud and keep and stay prideful and ruin the peace because we can't take a correction? We can't be told that we're wrong. We can't be told no. Christ says, as he closed in his prayer while he was in the Mount, in the Gethsemane, Garden of Gethsemane, he said, "Not my will, Lord, but let your will be done." The ultimate prayer of humility. I ask, and I ask all of us to truly consider, in having true humility, which is first and foremost making our hearts correct with God, giving all our intentions over to him and having us pure, us make us pure in his eyes. Amen. Let's as the music team make their way up here. If you have any decisions to make this evening, this afternoon, please come up. If you would like to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, please come up here so I can lead you into that prayer. For those of you who are up there, I believe Brother Will can do that, or Deacon John. If you have been attending this church for quite some time and the Lord has impressed it in your heart to become a part of it, please come up so we can recognize you. Or if you just need prayer, please come up so we can pray for you. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for your message. We thank you for your humility and your love for us. Father, your love is pure as your humility is so sincere. We can never attain it, Father God, apart from you. So we ask, Lord God, that you help us. Help us, Lord God, become the person that you want us to be. Help us to be humble. Remove all pride, our old selves, Lord God, in selfish ways. Remove it, Lord God. Remove our sinful nature, Lord. Anoint us, Father, with wisdom to know what to do and what not to do. I pray for broken relationships, Lord God, because of pride. I pray, Father God, that you will heal them. Heal them with humility and help them apologize to one another. I pray for those who are sick, Lord God. Please give them, Lord God, healing. And I pray for salvation for those who are lost. I pray that you will humble them enough to recognize their need for a Savior because they are sinners. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And all the Lord's people said,
amen.
Amen. Let's all rise for the closing song.